I used to come in here and say, my, what a difference a day makes. Okay, what a difference a half night of sleep makes. So after the debate last night, Mr. Barrett and I hosted the Barrett Brief Show here from 10 to 1 Central Time. Had our crosstalk, and we talked about the debate, and I gave the president props. I thought overall that he was a very slim winner overall. But after watching some of the tapes this morning and listening back to some of the exchanges, I'm going to go ahead and say that I clearly was... it's almost like when you're watching a football game and your favorite team is playing, right? In my case, it could be the New Orleans Football Saints or the LSU Fighting Tigers. And you have these high expectations that every game is going to be a blowout. They're just going to maul the competition, right? And then when it doesn't happen or they get off to a rocky start, you get a little despondent. You start to, you don't fall into despair, but you, discouragement. Well, I thought that last night that Trump was just going to knock Biden out early and just take it straight to him. But he was very calm. He was very composed. His answers were very measured. And he actually gave props to the moderator, which I just thought was, come on, man, you don't really mean that, Mr. President. This woman, this Catherine Welker woman, she was just an abomination. If you thought Chris Wallace was bad and you didn't watch last night's debate because of it, trust me, you made the right decision. Because this woman, she never interrupted and told creepy, sneaky, sniffy Joe to shut up one time. Not once. She interrupted the president on every single question and dialogue and exchange. Excuse me, Mr. President. Hey, Mr. President, they even muted his mic. You could tell that they had Trump on a clock, a two-minute clock. Because in one of the answers, they muted his mic while he was still talking. Because he went 2 minutes and 3 seconds. But after we were watching the tape from last night and reliving some of the finer moments here, I'm just going to say for one of the rare instances, and it was a long day yesterday at the end of a very long week, your kind and humble host was just tired. Maybe I wasn't paying close enough attention or I had too high expectations. I'm going to take back and retract what I said, and I'm going to go ahead and after watching it for the second time, because we basically watched it again this morning, it was a knockout blow. He absolutely annihilated Biden, not even close. So if you were watching last night, thank you, and you might have went, man, what was the king do? It was very hard on the president. Well, I was. but again, I'm not going to make any excuses. I got one wrong. And I didn't say that Trump, I gave Trump the nod last night, 77-74, if it was a boxing match. It was probably more like 85-58. So I want to start the program off with that. And then I wanted to talk about this. Let's talk about Hunter Biden for just a moment here. I'm going to stick with my two-week-old analysis of this. And that is that the entire Hunter Biden saga is not the story of Hunter Biden, which is, I mean, obviously, this poor man, this poor soul, he is a recidivist, he's a miscreant, he's a criminal, obviously, and he needs that faith I hope he was raised with by the supposedly Catholic Biden family. And he needs it desperately. I was watching Jack Posobiec interview Rudy Giuliani yesterday. They played it again this morning. So I heard the whole thing. It was about a half an hour. It was about 35 minutes long. And Giuliani was detailing some of the things that are in the text messages that were found on the computer that doesn't exist. Leslie Stahl, 60 Minutes, interviewing the president. Do we have that clip? That's one we don't have. But I know you were watching it, so it won't be hard to find. Leslie Stahl, what a brilliant move, by the by the president, by the Trump administration. Oh, you do have it. Okay.
I'm the best producer ever. Of course I have it.
Yes, you are the best producer ever. Give Maggie some props. By the way, if you want to give Maggie some props, make a contribution in the chat room. CrusadeChannel.com/chat. Always great to start a Friday off or any day off with a contribution. Hasn't happened yet today, but I'm confident that it will. In any event, this is how you run an international corporation, and you don't let these little media tin-horn dictators trip you up. You got your own guy taping the whole conversation. Now, I don't know if CBS agreed to that and that they did have a camera. I can tell you this. Whoever taped it in the whichever of the president's men or women recorded the entire interview, they did not have access to the microphones because the audio that you get is not microphone audio. It's ambient audio from the room, okay? So, and it's at a little bit of a distance, so you got to amplify it. But towards the end of the conversation, the infamous laptop comes up. And one of the most lauded, L-A-U-D-E-D, lauded or loaded and respected. She's been with 60 Minutes for what, 30-some-odd years? Leslie Stahl denies that there is a laptop. She denies that it even exists. And Donald Trump just listens and goes, what are you doing? What are you denying? The laptop exists. It exists. Excuse me. We'll play the digital media file as we go along here today. There was a knockout blow, if you missed it last night, that was landed at the debate. It was almost like a heavyweight boxing match. Of course, Trump being a heavyweight and Biden being some sort of a lightweight or a welterweight. Towards the end, in the last 30 minutes or 45 minutes or so, about the halfway point of the two-on-one assault called a debate, the subject of the environment and the oil industry, global warming and all this nonsense came up. And it was at that point that the president said he wants to end fracking. He wants to tell him, Joe. And this is when it began. It took Trump 40 minutes of body blows, but he finally baited Biden into it. And he baited Biden into the biggest campaign gaffe, maybe in debate history. He got Biden to admit on tape in front of an international audience, yeah, I'm going to end fossil fuel use. Then he's issued what's going to be the most infamous challenge in history. With a furrowed brow, he scowled and yelled at the president, prove it, man. Put it on your website. And Trump goes, oh, it's going to be on the website, Joe. Don't worry. Approximately 0.00059 seconds after the debate ended, it was on the Twitter. It was on the Twitter. It was on Trump's Twitter. Here, you wanna hear what you said about fracking, Joe? Here you go. You talk about an unforced error. That was a clear unforced error. I still think that Biden, number one, was doped up because as the debate went on, he got tired. He got visibly tired. His speech began to slur. He was struggling to come up with words. It was one of those use your words moment. Use your words. He didn't use his words very well. And then he began to misstate things. To allow the president to drag you down that road and then to commit the... Look, it's so bad for Biden that even on the post-game, post-debate, Clinton News Network execution of the president, when DC 180 asked a question of one of the political hacks that works for CNN, the guy actually goes, I'm sorry, Anderson, but Trump didn't lie. Trump actually got that one correct. Then they played the clip of Biden saying, I'm going to bring fracking to an end. When the president looked at the camera and said, Texas, are you listening? Pennsylvania, are you listening? Can I count on you to remember this at the polls? Biden was erratic. He was rambling. He was repeating things from the 1980s. Then he repeated he loves to plagiarize, kept repeating an old, worn-out, hackneyed Obama line. I'm not going to be a president for red staters. I'm not going to be a president for blue staters. I'm going to be an American president. That's a line straight out of Barack Hussein Obama. Mm-mm-mm. By the by, while he was up there yelling and claiming that he was this new, improved, moderate, and... politically ecumenical Joe, he was wearing a blue tie. Somebody pointed out and went, if there's no red and there's no blue to you, how come in every debate you show up in a blue tie? So if you go on Twitter and look at the poll results, the president obviously won handily. There are a couple of tweets that stood out to me. One from Megyn Kelly. Now, Megyn Kelly, I spotted Megyn Kelly as a fake conservative, fake conservative, way back in 2008. When all the people were running around going like, we got Megyn Kelly at Fox News, and our Fox News is the most conservative of all conservative news outlets. You just wait and see. They're going to gradually go against the big media, and Megyn Kelly is one of us. I'm like, no, she's not. I did a commentary, several of them. I actually I did one for the SiriusXM Patriot Channel, and I did one for ABC 26 television station here when I was doing those 5 years of commentaries on the nightly news. Yeah, I used to be someone. And one of them was about Megyn Kelly and about the fact that this woman's not a conservative. And if she is, then we got the wrong definition of conservative, and I don't want to be one. Megyn Kelly said demonstrable victory for Trump last night. She didn't say demonstrable. She said, here, Trump won this debate handily. Biden wasn't a force at all. Trump was and this is, again, going back and watching it, and I did mention this to Mr. Barrett last night, so I'll give myself a little bit of credit. When they got to some of the business questions, and I thought another home run ball that the president hit is when they were talking about the minimum wage. I don't know why this comes up. Because the president can't raise minimum wages. I know Obama did it by executive order. That's not the way it's supposed to work. The minimum wage is a libtard, Keynesian canard, and it needs to be done away with. Now, if you want to say living wage, and you're talking about subsidiarity and solidarity, I'm all with you. But government doesn't set that. The government wouldn't set that. You would know if you were morally, properly and morally paying someone in your employ. And that is for individuals. But Trump got it right when he said, that's a state issue.
You do that by state. You can't tell some businessman in Texas he doesn't have the same problems a businessman in New York has. By the way, New York is destroyed. It's over. It's gone. My once beloved city. In that exchange, he got it right. Not only did he get it right, it was one of us, because that's a Federalist answer.